good subject. That's the truth.
Amen. This world's looking for satisfaction, and they're never going to find it outside of Jesus Christ. And religion won't do it. Amen. And people try with all kinds of things, ungodly things, and that'll sure never do it. But religion won't do it either. Going to church won't do it. Amen. Keeping the commandments won't do it, if you could. But Jesus Christ can do it. And I'm glad he made himself available to all of us. Amen. Don't ever get over it. There ain't nothing better than Jesus. We sang, Count Your Blessings. And if I started, I guess I'd go all over this room and I'd have a pretty good list. I appreciate the friendship of this church. And not just friendship, but the prayers and the encouragement that we get, and the kindness and the hospitality. And I'm going to take this opportunity to say thank you. And I'll say thank you again before it's over. But I really mean it, and that's what brings it to mind, that song right there. And sometimes when you get down, and we do, I was told early on, probably everybody was some point in the Christian life, take a piece of paper and draw a line down the middle and put your blessings on one side and your complaints on the other. And if you'd be honest, well, the blessing side, if you're saved, then the blessing side is going to outweigh the other side. Sometimes when you compare what Jesus Christ had to do just to make your sins forgiven, sometimes it'll make you ashamed of your complaints. And it does me. But I thank God tonight for the opportunity to preach tonight. Thank God for a Bible and a place and the freedom to gather and a message. And I got a message for you. So take your Bible and go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And look with me in verse number 10. We're going to break it up a little, so I'll just take it part by part. Book says, for he that will love life. I'm here to tell you tonight that I love life. I do. I'm enjoying life. I'm ready to go. I know that what's on the other side is better. I got no problem with that. And maybe the reason I don't have to fret about it is because I know I'm going to go there one day. So I'm going to take the advice a Texan gave me 3 weeks out of jail, a brother from Houston. And he said this. He said two things. He said, Brother Spurgeon, no matter what anybody says, you can make it as a Christian. And he had been a heroin addict in the 40s and been in and out of jail, and he ended up pastoring a church in Houston, and he'd been down and out, and he had a burden for guys that got, and gals too, that got saved from the rough side of life. And just like everybody else, he'd seen some come and go. And with hair down the middle of my back and a black leather jacket on, standing in a little church in North Georgia that I'd gone down to with my pastor, Jack Wood, come up to me and said, no matter what anybody says, you can make it. And that meant something to me because I knew he knew something about where I came from. That encouraged me. Everybody's got credibility with somebody. And there's people that wouldn't give me the time of day because of who I am or what I've done or where I've been. But there's people that'll listen to me that wouldn't listen to somebody else. And it goes that way with every single child of God. And God saves people from every walk of life so that every walk of life might have a chance, might be, well, have a witness or be reached. Amen. I'm having a great time. I got aches and pains. I never dreamed I'd live this long. If it could be repeated once again, if I'd have known I was going to be this old, I'd have taken better care of myself. I heard that, you've heard that, but man, I'm beginning to realize the truth in it. This growing old thing is not for wimps. I'm glad I'm tough enough to handle it. But I don't know what I'd advise. I'm not here to give advice. But I know this. I never saw this coming. I never saw the life that I'm living right now. I never saw that coming. I got saved and I started going to church. I never dreamed God would call me to preach. And he did, I surrendered my life to him at a meeting I was on. I was waiting to go to penitentiary. I still thought I was going to. And I had a federal judge as a stipulation for my bond. And also in my probation, he said I had to get a job. Funny how they require that. And I was 37 years old, and my previous job was in the Army 18 years before. I've been waiting for the IRS to say, where were you between 1974? And I was going to honestly just say, I don't recall. Amen. But I surrendered my life, and I said, Lord, they tell me I've got to get an occupation because everything I was good at was illegal. And so I'm trying to figure it out. And I told the Lord, I said, if you'll let me work for you, I will. And I had no idea what I was getting into. But like I've said before, my church had a little Bible institute, and I started going to classes, and then a couple months later, God called me to preach, and boy, I never saw that coming. And then to be able to come, and this is my 20th year on the road, amen, and we're busy, amen. And then 19 years ago to put me with my Bible teacher's wife and continue on and serve. I'm having a good time. I love life. Anybody else in here love life? Yeah, man, it's not that there's not rough times. There's supposed to be. If everything went as smooth as we pretend we wished it did, who would long for heaven? Amen. Bible says, for he that will love life and see good days. Now, I just want to say to you now that those are my favorite kind. Good days, yeah. I prefer them. We've been through some rough stuff. You've been through some rough stuff in your life, no doubt. But and God will give you the grace to get through it. And that's what it said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And that's part of it. But push come to shove, you get down to it. If you gave me a choice, Brother Spurgeon, today, do you prefer to have a good day or a bad day? Even though I'll help you. I'm a wimp. Don't ever repeat that. Don't put that on the internet. Uh-oh, too late. If you gave me a choice, I'd pick good days. Wouldn't you? And you might as well pick the good days because you're going to have enough of the other kind as long as we're in this stinking flesh and in the devil's world. Amen. But it says, for he that will love life and see good days. I would imagine that probably everybody in the air would choose good days over bad. And so I want to give you a Bible formula tonight on how to have a good day. That'll be the title. Have a good day. Let's pray. Father, again, we do come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that we're able to assemble once again. And I thank you for the great turnout that we've had. As far as I can see, I've been looking at some of these people. This is the seventh day in a row. And I'm glad that they haven't, like so many times is the case, they found something better to do on at least a few nights of a revival. And this is their meeting, Lord. It's not for me. But Lord, I pray that you bless them for their faithfulness, and I pray, God, you continue to meet with us during the rest of it, and I'm confident that you will. My prayer really is that, God, you continue to see fit to allow me to say something that your Spirit can bear witness to so that it might make a difference in someone's life. And Lord, I know that that'll never happen if you don't intercede, and we invite you to, Lord. We invite you to walk up and down the aisles of this church and in the corridors of our heart and speak to us, Lord, as only you can, so that we'll know it was you. And I thank you, God, for so many things, and I fully intend to thank you for meeting with us here tonight, Lord, because I'm confident that these people have prayed and the stage has been set, and we want you in our midst, and a very real special way. And I pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. All right, so have a good day. It says, for he that will love life and see good days. And we're just going to start right there in verse number 10. We'll finish it out. And I want you to notice that the rest of the verse has to do with your conversation. Conversation. It says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. You want to have a good day? You'd do well to follow that advice right there. Now, refrain means to hold back, to restrain, or to keep from action. And the Bible says a lot about our words. And it says in James chapter 3 and verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Amen. Talking about the tongue. Talking about you ought to have a good day today, tonight, tomorrow. You need to learn to refrain your tongue from evil. I remember as a young Christian one time, I'm talking about the first couple years I was saved, and I'm going to church every service. My preacher said, you need to come as often as you can, and I took that to heart. Amen. I wasn't offended that he was trying to tell me what to do. I fully believed that he was trying to help. That was the attitude I had. See, I spent 20 years as a professional rebel, and when I got saved and I got in church, I quit trying to be a rebel. I wanted to learn how to be a Christian because I wanted to please my Savior. I could not comprehend that the sinless Son of God would go out and do what he did for the likes of me. I haven't got over it yet. Amen. I go to churches all the time. I meet people in my age group, and we grew up in a time of rebellion in this country, and a bunch of us have gotten saved, and I'm telling you something, if you're not careful, you still make great rebels. I'm not trying to go against the grain anymore. I'm trying to conform. I'm trying to yield myself to be conformed to the image of his Son. Amen. So I got there and the preacher would say, be in church every time you can. And I said, sir, yes, sir. And one Sunday morning he said, now y'all be back here tonight, 6 o'clock. And I'm going to preach a message on the wickedest member of Charity Baptist Church. That's why I go to church. And I'm going, ooh, that sounds good. Because up till then I thought it was me. And as far as I knew, I wasn't in any trouble. So I said, this ought to be pretty juicy. And some people did what you just did. They laughed. And they thought, you know, that'll be interesting. And I looked around and some people looked pretty nervous. I think they were worried that it might be about them. Some of them didn't come back that night. I don't know what they're thinking. But the preacher got in the pulpit and he had one of my little shoeboxes. And it was like a girl's shoebox, narrow, you know, and long. And he set it on the pulpit. And he went James, and all of a sudden they had all the kids on the front row. All the young people would sit in on the Sunday night service. They'd be there. And he opened, pulled the lid off that box and reached in and grabbed a cow's tongue. Probably had it shipped in from Texas or something. Boy, them things are longer than you think, man. I mean, they stick out of the cow's mouth that far, but they start way back in there. And some of you knew that. And he's got this big old cow tongue, and he comes out of the pulpit, and he's got all these kids, and he's waving this thing, and I mean, it's grossing me out. And the kids are, yuck, yuck, yuck. And he started preaching on the wickedest member of a church, and he preached on right out of James chapter 3, and he preached on the tongue. And boy, that was vivid, because that was about 23 years ago, and I'm still remembering it pretty good. Good illustration. Hey, you want to have a good day? That verse said there right there in 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 10, he says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. I'll tell you what causes more trouble in the church of Jesus Christ. We get victory over so many sins of the flesh, and it seems to be the sins of the tongue. I'm telling you, I'll have a good day. You better learn to control your conversation. That's where we get in trouble. I mean, we don't go to the movies, and we don't play cards, and we don't do this, and we don't do that, and we don't drink, and we don't hang around with them that we do. And there's more stuff about gossip and talking and tail-bearing and getting in other people's business than there is all those things put together. But we like to emphasize the things that we got victory over. And the thing that's mentioned the most and that we struggle with the most is doing more damage to the Church of Jesus Christ than all them other things put together. And I'm not saying those things are don't emphasize those things. I'm saying let's get this on the list of things too. It says, let him refrain his tongue from evil. James chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, but the tongue can no man tame. Yeah, no man tame. Think you got it under control? Well, either you're right or the Bible's right. It's really that simple. Amen. It says, behold, and no, it is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Amen. So if you want to have a good day, learn to refrain your tongue from evil. And the verse doesn't stop there, does it? I mean, right there in verse number 10, even the next part has to do with conversation. And it says this, it says, and his lips that they speak no guile. Speak no guile. Guile is craft. Guile is cunning. Guile is deceitfulness. Amen. Like when you go to buy a used car, and the guy says, yeah, man, this car, little old lady bought it new, and she only drove it to church on Sunday. And this car, it's solid, and I'd drive it to California tomorrow. And the guy bought it at the auction 3 days before, and he doesn't know anything about that car at all. That's deceit. Amen. Now, if you're a used car dealer, I probably just offended you, so I hope you put your offering in earlier in the week. But I'm telling you something, your flesh will gravitate toward that kind of thinking and speaking guile if you don't make a serious point not to let it. Amen. And so it says, speak no guile. Psalm 39, it addresses it in verse number 1. And David said this, I said, I will take heed to my ways. You want to have a good day? That's a good start. That I sin not with my tongue. First thing in his effort to heed his ways is to put a, you see it? Is to take control of that. It says, I will keep my mouth with a bridle. A bridle. You guys know what that is? Texas, right? I'm from back east. We know what bridles are. Okay, I'll quit playing with you because you're giving me really dirty looks, and that just makes me preach harder. It doesn't scare me, I guarantee you. Amen. No, I'm kidding. I love you. You know that? You want to have a good day? Amen. Maybe you better learn to keep your tongue with a bridle. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something else. Day and age in which we live, I mean, we're talking about conversation, but when this was written, and up until, you know, I don't know how many years ago, conversation had to do with talking. And then technology got involved. And then you could be talking to people that you weren't seeing through the telephone. Next thing you know, you're talking to people that you're not even hearing. You're emailing. And now there's social media. And if you want to have a good day, amen, you better take heed to your ways. You might need to learn to bridle your fingers.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. So how do you do that? Well, next time you feel tempted to get on that computer, maybe you should just put on a nice pair of mittens. I'll bring some next time. I'll give them away because I get that part. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, man, I have seen more trouble in the last couple of years that Christians have gotten in trouble by putting stuff on Facebook, and there might be 10 other, and I don't know all the names of them, and I don't care. But I'm telling you what, it is no better to get on that social media thing and start saying things and put little veiled inferences about something you don't like about somebody else so that when you're dragged into the pastor's office, you can say, well, that's not really what I said. You're not allowed to hurt people like that. And I've seen it so many times. That's why I'm against it. Amen. That's why I don't go within a million miles of it. Now, whatever. I'm not going to change the world. But it is my job as a preacher of the Word of God to warn you that you're not allowed to sin with that thing, even if you're using it. So if you are, quit it. Amen. We're talking about it has to do with conversation. I told a person one time that just felt some great need that every time a thought entered their mind, it needed to go out on the World Wide Web. And boy, I tell you what a bunch of foolishness. Yeah. Often. And I suggested to that person, you know, maybe you could write down your great profundity. Is that a word? I don't know. You didn't know either. Okay. And then sit on it for 24 hours. And then read it again tomorrow. I was talking to a guy in Washington, D.C. this afternoon. And he's talking about he's writing a letter, and it's pretty important. And he says, you know, I'm no journalist major, so I write it. And then I go back and look at it the next day, and I change something. Then I go back and look at it the next day, and I change something. And I'm glad, you know, that's the way you ought to do it. And sometimes that great need to put everything you're thinking at the moment out on the internet, maybe you'd do well just sit on that thing for a little while and read it again the next day, and you might be glad. You might come to the point where you're glad some of that stuff didn't go out. Yeah. It's like, you know, the words that come out of your mouth are like squirting tube out of a toothpaste. Huh? That's all some of you are going to remember about this whole thing. Squirting toothpaste out of a tube. You never get it all back in. And I mean, if you got the time, you're still. Once it's out, it's out. You want to have a good day? You need to learn to control your conversation. Okay, amen. It says this in Psalm 50 and verse 23, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." So, beloved, you're responsible for what comes out of your mouth. And if you can't control it, shut it. I'm trying to help you. I know, I hope I didn't offend anybody. I've never been called smart aleck twice in church before I ever got up to preach, and I'm not offended. I hope you're not. I'm trying to help you. Do you know that? I'm trying to help you. You can hey, you want to have a rotten day. That's your business. But I know many of you just like me. You prefer good days. And this isn't a feel good about yourself little seminar here. I'm just giving you a Bible. Amen. It's right there, and it's in the context. As a matter of fact, the whole message is going to come right out of this chapter. It's a Bible formula for a good day. And point number one has to do with conversation. Point number two has to do with conduct. Look at verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. And we'll take this one apart too. It says, "Let him eschew evil." You want to have a good day? Eschew evil. Now maybe you're like me. Eschew is not a word you used when you were lost. I did not, I never heard of it till I got in the Bible. Amen. Eschew. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. That's not what I'm talking about. So where did you first hear it, Brother Spurgeon? Well, in Job chapter 1. Probably the same as some of you. And it says it's in verse 1, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." Now, you know what? You do not need an 1828 often to get a definition of a word. You look at the context. And sometimes the same word will mean different things depending on the context. And so even though I never heard the word eschewed before, according to the context, it sounded like if he feared God and eschewed evil, it sounded like he took heed to his conduct. All right? It means to abstain or keep away from, to shun or avoid. Now, you've got a verse in the New Testament. Paul wrote it for us, and it's in chapter 5, verse 22. Said, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." Amen? All right, Murphy's Law. Here's Murphy's Law. I don't know how Murphy got stuck with this, but, he's Irish, so that's probably how he got it. And so am I. So if you're Irish, don't even pull that on me. I'm offended. Murphy's Law goes like this. If it can go wrong, it will. Right? That is not Murphy's Law. That is the law of the flesh. You follow me? Amen. We are diametrically opposed to God. We're not evolving, we're devolving. Amen. And if it can go wrong, it will. And then Mrs. Murphy's Law. Mrs. Murphy's Law was added to it later, and it went like this. And at the worst possible time. Doesn't that sound like something a woman would say? When everything's coming apart at the seams, then she's going to add, I can't believe it's happening right now on top of it. Murphy's Law for the Christian. If anything you do, if any place you go, anything you say, talk about, if it can be taken wrong, if it can be used by the devil to find fault with our Savior, it will be. That's Murphy's Law for the Christian. That's why that liberty that you have as a child of God, that people like to quote, I'm saved by grace, I have liberty, I don't try to cram a bunch of rules down my throat. I hear that. Somebody asked me one time and said, Brother Spurgeon, are you a legalist? And I thought, isn't that interesting? I spent 20 years as a professional illegalist. Amen. I never thought I'd have anybody say that to me. The liberty that you have as a child of God is not the liberty to do whatever you want.
That's right.
That's what a lost person does. That's what you did before you got saved. The liberty that you have, the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. The liberty that you have as a born-again child of God is the freedom to do what you couldn't do before you got saved. What is that? Live for God. Make a difference. He said, abstain from all appearance of evil, because the devil has a lost and dying world on the edge of their seats, watching us, whether you think so or not, whether you believe it or not, watching us, whether it seems like it or not, to find fault with us, so that he can go before God like he does in Job 1 and said, see, don't you read your Bible? And you know what the problem is? We give him plenty of ammunition. On our best day, we're all together in unity. How much more so if we're not trying, if we're not taking heed, if we're not mindful of our conduct? He said, let him eschew evil. And then it says, I'm going to see what it says next there. It says something else. It says, I want to add this right here, especially since I'm in Texas. Was Johnny Cash from Texas? Probably not. We're talking about conduct. We're talking about taking heed to our conduct. You want to have a good day? You know what Christians do these days? They walk the line. I mean, Johnny Cash sang about it, didn't he? Wasn't there a song? Some of you got the album. Don't look at me like that. Yeah? Yeah? I didn't mean to really like actually tell on yourself. But, amen. And that's what Christians do. They walk the line between the world and the church. And I'm telling you, you want to have a good day? You better quit it. You better quit doing it. Just come on in. Get all the way in. Amen. You can't figure out why people like me are excited. I'm excited. Amen. Because I got all the way in. I didn't just get away from the edge. I got as far away. I'm as far away from the edge as I can get. And my flesh wants to go over there just like yours. But I'm trying to help, and you're still saved, and Jesus still loves you, and I'm not trying to guilt trip you or shame you, because you got to be so careful these days about people's feelings. But if you want to have a good day in Jesus Christ, you better take heed to your conduct. It says, let him eschew evil. And then, what does it say then? I got to look, because I got so many things going on in my head. Not voices like some of you. It says, let him eschew evil and do good. Yeah, and do good. Okay, let me give you a couple verses. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10 says, As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good. It comes up all through the Pauline epistles. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. Amen. That's us saved people. It says especially. It doesn't say exclusively. All right, let me give you another verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves, epistle written to a church, and unto all men. So the common theme, we're talking about to have a good day, let him refrain his lips from evil and his tongue that it speaks no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. And in the verses that I'm using, the common theme, it goes further than just doing good. It's common in both those verses in Galatians and 1 Thessalonians that unto all men. You want to have a good day? You treat everybody right. Yeah. Not just your family. I mean, the Lord told us, man, that's the way everybody does. Even your enemies. Unto all men. You want to have a good day? Let them eschew evil and do good. And then it says, seek peace and ensue it. Seek peace and ensue it. Amen. If you don't ensue it, pursue it, that would work. Amen. Go after it, follow after it. If you don't seek peace, you won't find it. Not in this world. Amen. Peace only comes from Jesus Christ. He's the Prince of Peace. He speaks peace to our soul. You're not going to get it on television. You're not going to get it on the radio. I can't even hardly say the words Christian radio. It just doesn't work in my mouth. You know, Christian television, really? What channel is that again? Amen. I'm going to tell you what. To seek peace, to seek peace and ensue it, you're going to have to go to the Prince of Peace. You're going to have to go to the book. Amen. But I'll tell you what, you'll be glad you did. Amen. So, to have a good day, as far as conduct is concerned, eschew evil and ensue peace. It's like there's no vacuum. There's no dead space. You quit doing one thing and you start doing something else. And next thing you know, you get a smile. You're having a good day. You see the Lord work. You got something to put on the blessing side of the chart instead of, I know some people, man, everything they look at is negative. And I get it. I understand the world we live in. But I can't live there. I don't need that. Amen. I'm too blessed. I mean, when it says if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, that's easy for me. Man, from where I came from, I mean, the worst Christian I ever met is better than where I came from. Amen. I want to have a good day. Maybe I'm just lazy. Maybe I'm not spiritual. I'm just being honest. And I'm not pulling some message, you know, off the Joel Osteen website. I'm pretty sure this is King James Bible. I didn't offend anybody by... Okay. All right, so two things so far. For either will love life and see good days. Now, number one, that doeth conversation. And every one of you knows exactly what I'm talking about because every one of us has been in trouble here. All right, and then conduct. And the Bible talks about a lot about our conduct, so I'm giving it to you right out of the verse. But next, verse 12. Let's leave with verse number 12. It has to say, it says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. That book says the eyes of the Lord are, no, don't misquote it. Are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Okay, he does that for me a lot. Amen. It says here, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You want to have a good day? His ears are opened. Stay in contact. Stay in contact with the Lord. Amen. He wants to hear from you. He really does. I mean, I heard the illustration many years ago. You know, your wife would probably like for you to say hello to her every day. You know. The men have this thing, you know, well, honey, I didn't get your Valentine's Day card, but I told you I loved you, you know, at the altar when you got married, you know. That's the last time some people ever went to the altar. I don't believe that came out. I don't know where that came from. All right, moving on. Listen, the Lord wants to hear from you because you were created unlike every other thing in Genesis chapter 1. You, as human beings, were created to have fellowship with God. Amen. That's what he wants. And his eyes are over the righteous, and his ears are open on the oppressed, and he wants to hear from you. You'll never get a busy signal. Amen. You'll never get put on hold. He's interested in hearing from you. Here's a good example. David longed for that fellowship with the Lord. It says in Psalm 63 and verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Can you say that tonight? Now, he's God regardless. Amen. A friend of mine in Florida, an old preacher, said this one time, God without man is still God. Man without God, on the other hand, is absolute vanity. David said, O God, thou art my God. I'm happy to report tonight that he's my God. Amen. I hope you can say that. David went on and said this, early will I seek thee. Early. Now, you know what? You know what's good about the morning? Before the flesh starts crying out or wanting to check the weather or the news or the coffee or the baby's crying. Amen. That's a good time. That may not be your time. I'm not trying to make a doctrine out of something that's not. But I'll tell you what, the earlier the better, whether it's in your life, whether it's in your day, whether it's on your agenda. David said, early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee. That's the point I want to get to right there. Amen. What keeps that from happening, Brother Spurgeon? Brother Spurgeon. My biggest enemy meets me in the bathroom mirror every morning. It ain't the world, it ain't the flesh, it ain't the government. It's me. Amen. I got too many ideas for my own good. And if I don't force myself to seek God, I won't. I won't. And I don't have to break the laws and the commandments, and I can still just tuck my Bible under my arm and pretend I'm more spiritual than I am. I've learned to master it because I've learned from people that were doing it. And, you know, on the outside chance, that's what you've done or are doing. Could I encourage you to make contact sooner than later? Amen. Because he wants to hear from you. And you'll be glad you did. Because he'll answer you. This isn't religion. This isn't spooky. This is real, man. I talked to the Lord just a little while ago. Amen. My wife talked to him every time I get behind the wheel of that motorhome. It says, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. That's high ground right there. Because my flesh doesn't. And yours doesn't either. Amen. But that'd be a good thing to shoot for, wouldn't it be? Because this is a dry and thirsty land. And the famine has to do with the word of God. And the more things we get, the more advanced we get, the smaller God gets. And then, like was said, then he sends trouble our way to snap us back to reality. Because that's when we seek God, when things are going wrong, not right. But why do you have meetings like this? So that we can get a concentrated dose of the Word of God so that we'll stay in contact without things having to go wrong. Because when things go wrong and we draw nigh to God, like the Bible promises in James 4, that he'll respond in kind. But the issue is, if that's the only time we draw nigh to God, then the center of our prayers is ourselves. Oh, Lord, it's me. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Whatever. But if we could get something this week that make us more soul conscious, more spiritually minded, we could have a greater effect on the people around us. And I say a lost and dying world, you know, and that maybe seem a little, I don't know. But what does that mean? It means the people you go to school with. It means the people you work with. It means the people you live next door to. It means the people you interact with on a regular basis. That's who we need to be a witness to. And what do we got? We got something personal, but they don't need us. They don't need our thoughts. They just need Jesus Christ. And He set this thing up that He is going to reveal Himself through us. And if I had a question to ask the Lord when I get there, you know, you talk about that. Well, when I get to heaven, I told my wife many times, I said, you need to have a serious talk with Eve when you get there. Probably every woman has wondered about that. Truth of the matter is, none of that foolishness is going to be going on when we get there. We'll have a mind like Christ. Well, I get that. I get that. But I'm speaking as a fool. If I had something right now that I would want to say to the Lord, if there's a question I'd want to ask Him, it would be this right here. Why did you leave such an important commission, the gospel, to the likes of us? And I could reason out the answer for you, and that's where He gets the glory and all that. But it sure seems, if you're mindful of the Father's business, it seems overwhelming. How much more so when we just get caught up in the cares of this life, going to and fro in the earth, taking care of business, punching the spiritual time clock in the foyer, clock in, clock out. We did our duty for Jesus. Oh, we don't do these things, and we do these things, and so I guess we're accepted in the Beloved. There's so much more to Bible Christianity than that. And what is it? It is staying in communication with God, with the Creator of everything. Interested? He wants to hear from us. Hey, man, you want to have a good day? Stay in contact. Amen. And I got news for you. If you stay in contact with the Lord, you'll have a good day. Even if all hell breaks loose. No matter what happens. Because you'll be conscious of the truth that He's with you. And that He's got a purpose for everything. And that all things work together for good. And it isn't dependent on whether or not you realize it or see it. There's things we're not going to figure out till we get on the other side. Right. Say, well, that's hard to believe. I know it. Yeah, you got to have faith. And that's the whole deal. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Stay in contact. He wants to hear from you. Amen. And the verse finishes with these words, verse number 12. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, so if I ever put a message together on how to have a bad day, that's going to be on it. But this is a good day message, so we'll leave that for another time. You want to have a good day? Be mindful of your conversation. Amen. Want to have a good day? Watch your conduct. Amen. Want to have a good day? What was next? Keep in contact with the Lord. All right? How about verse 13? The Bible says this, And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Could I say to you, if you want to have a good day, put your confidence in Jesus Christ. I mean, let's face it. I know it says in Romans 8, verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? And don't take that to mean nobody's against us. We got plenty against us. But compared to who's for us, I mean, come on. Let's face it. Boy, I'm glad. The Lord Jesus Christ, it says... It is better, in Psalm 118 verse 18, it says this, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And here's why. And I know some good men. And I know some good women. And I got a lot of people that I trust. And they've earned that trust. But the truth of the matter is, sooner or later, just about everything in this world is going to let you down at some point. That's just part of being human. And I'm just glad we can put our confidence in someone that won't ever bat in 1,000. Jesus Christ never let anybody down yet. Ever. Isn't it good to know the Lord won't change His mind on you? I've had friends, and then as I got to know them, I didn't like them as much as I did. I've got friends, and once they got to know me, something came, some difference of opinion, something came up, and now we're not fast friends anymore. Amen. Things change among people. Isn't it good that Christ said, or it says in Romans 5, but God committed his love toward us, and then while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knew what he was getting. I marvel at that. Like I've quoted perhaps here this week, I don't even remember anymore. But Psalm 103 says, he knoweth our frame. He remembers we're dust. You know where we get in trouble? Is we forget that we're dust. We start thinking more highly of ourselves than we should. Amen? I'm glad my confidence isn't in me. I let myself down. Amen? It says, well, I want to read it right, and my memory's not what it once was. Who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of good? And at the end of the day, nobody can touch you. Amen? I'm not saying you get my meaning. That doesn't mean we don't have adversaries. We do. I'll preach that one of these days. I remember my preacher would preach, and he was a good teacher and believed the book. I mean, I didn't end up as a Bible believer because of any spiritual journey through 10 denominations to get to the truth. Lord probably knew I didn't have character to do that. He just took me out of a county jail and put me in a church where the preacher believed the book and taught the King James Bible as an inspired, inerrant word of God, which it is. Amen. And I taught rightly dividing the word of truth in Sunday school for a year. Amen. And I probably missed a lot. But because I was there every service, I got a lot. And he taught faithfully. And I remember I was on that federal probation a year or two. And after a Sunday night service, and he's working through one of the books of the Bible, and I just was overwhelmed. And I went to him, and I mean overwhelmed in way that I'd learned something, and it the more you get in that book, the better he gets. Amen. The less time you spend in the stimuluses of this world, the more real Jesus Christ is. Do you realize that? I mean, if you put all the hours together that you're listening to the radio or watching television, even if you're not an addict on those, versus the time you spend in your Bible, if you'd be honest with yourself, you follow me? Amen. I had a preacher say this not too long ago. He says, the world, the flesh, and the devil all come against the child of God when he's watching television or listening to the radio. Because in the media, okay, original Greek, Dave Spurgeon, I know, can't believe it. The word muse means to think. And the prefix ah means not. So it is when we are in the amusement mode. That all that stuff, that's where the onslaught comes. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Got to keep our guard up. Yeah. Amen. Maybe I didn't explain it well. Okay. I went to the preacher and I said, preacher, I said, you just keep bringing things out of that book. I said, the more I learn about Jesus Christ, I mean, he made it practical. He made it real. I said, the more worried I am that I'm going to fail him. And you know what my preacher said? Hold that thought right there, and you'll probably be all right. I preached to empty seats all over the country every week somewhere that's emptied because a person got to the point in their Christian life where they had some things down, they had some experience, and they never dreamed it could be them. You let your guard down, that's when you lose. That's why it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Amen? It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Doesn't matter what you've done. And some people, man, my hat's off. Missionary, my hat's off to you. But your confidence better stay in him. Amen? If you want to have a good day. Now, you can have a good eternity right after the judgment seat if you choose to go that route. But I want some good days down here. And I got a feeling that if I get a hold of some of this stuff, the judgment seat of Christ will go better. Confidence. You know, it says in Hebrews 6 and 19, I like this, it says, which hope we have as an anchor. An anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And I hope you have an anchor for your soul tonight. Because when everything else is coming apart, and sometimes it does, at least you can have confidence in Him. And by the way, the greatest source of confidence there is for a human being is knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt, not based on feeling, opinion, grandma, knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt, according to Scripture, your sins are forgiven. And I feel sorry for people that think they can lose their salvation because they never have the confidence to make a difference for Jesus Christ. They could if they weren't worried about losing it. I'm saved by grace. Some people must be saved by grease because they keep slipping in and out of the body of Christ. Not me, though. Okay, serious moment. That went right over your head. That's all right. If I'd have had that in my notes, I'd be crossing it off right now. Verse 15, have a good day. I'm not done. Some of you are done. Some of you got done right then. Okay, it's okay. All right, now the last one. Okay, the second to last one had to do with consecration. All right, let's look at verse number 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. All right? Now, consecration, I know, is an Old Testament word. I get that. Doesn't show up in the New Testament. And consecration means this, to appropriate to sacred use, to set apart, dedicate, or devote to the service and worship of God. Well, there's a New Testament word for it. It's called sanctification. But it didn't line up with the C's, so I used Amen. Didn't you learn that in preaching class? I'm the only preacher that tells on himself, that's all. Maybe, I don't know. But I'm telling you, it said there, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And sanctify means the same thing, set apart for the service and worship of God. So if you want to have a good day, let me suggest that you set, first of all, set God apart in your heart. In other words, keep this in check. Make sure He's on the throne. And amen. Let me tell you something I mentioned already. God's a gentleman. And when you decide that you don't need to acknowledge Him, when you decide you can run the show, when you say to Him, like some of you say to your parents, I got this. He'll say, okay. Have a nice day. Only you won't. Amen. Sanctify Lord God in your heart. Make sure He's the boss. Yeah. Amen. I mean, I Savior, you know, He's not your buddy. Amen. That's not right. He's supposed to be your, what's the word? Lord. Savior first, has to be Savior first, and then Lord of your life. One's easy, and one's logical, and the other one you have to submit to. And we're not good at that. We don't even like the S word. Amen? But you'll have a better day if you do. And then set yourself apart to the service and worship of God. And it shouldn't be that hard. 1 Corinthians 6 says, you're bought with a price. You're not your own. Amen? But He gives us enough liberty that this free will decides, well, I can do whatever I want. Not have a good day. Not with Him. All right? So let me give you an example. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, the Bible says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, the context when he says purge himself from these is, there in the chapter in 2 Timothy 2 is profane and vain babblings. All right? And then in verse 23 it says foolish and unlearned questions. And if you'll purge yourself from these things, you'll be a vessel, that's your body, unto honor. And there's other kinds. But you can be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet means appropriate for the master's use. Buddy, that's got a ring to it that speaks to my soul. A vessel. You're already here. You're already meet. Means of use, of value to God. Meet for the master's use. That's what you have the capability, a child of God. That's what you have the capability of being. That's what you ought to strive for. Amen. That's what you ought not accept. Sin reigning in your life. And you can get anything needs to be got right. Get it right. So you can be of use to the master. Wow. When Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, verse 13 said, Now I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind and reaching forth unto that which is before. Verse 14 says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I like the ring of that. It'd take me a while to figure out what it meant. I'm going to tell you what it means. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus isn't a position or a title or a ministry or a degree on the wall or a list of accomplishments. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is to be a vessel meet for the master's use. It's the ground's level, friend. Whatever you're called to do, child, husband, wife, missionary, preacher, we can all be a vessel meet for the master's use. You know, we're the ones that assemble these pecking orders, you know. God doesn't like that. Didn't he prove that with the Nicolaitans? Consecration. And you know what? If you will, and we're saying that means sanctification. If you will sanctify, like it says in the first part of the verse 15, if you will sanctify the Lord God in your heart, let's finish the verse. If you'll do that, you will be ready always to give an answer. Every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. If you'll sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, somebody will see some hope. Now, you don't have to, and you'll still get to go to heaven. There's no stipulation. There's no strings attached. Salvation's a gift. But if you're ever going to have an effect on anybody else, they got to see something in you that's different. Amen? This world's used to people backing out of the driveway on Sunday morning and going to church somewhere. This world's not intimidated by Christian church people at all. Because so most 99% of them probably ain't making a lick of difference. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't determine what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do what the Bible says. Amen. And we're supposed to be mindful of our conversation and our conduct. And we're supposed to stay in contact with our Lord. And he set it up so that we can. And you can go to him yourself right now. You can bow your head right now and get through. You don't have to go ask one of the pastors to help you. You follow me? You're a king and a priest and a child of God. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
We're royalty. We ought to act like it.
Amen.
I know I'm a sinner saved by grace, but I'm also a child of the king. Don't mess with the family. I like that. Sometimes we get that thing all out of whack because we use that sin nature as an excuse to fail. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to fail every time. All right? And so we're talking about having a good day and the contact and then keep your confidence in Jesus Christ. Yeah, but I fail. Well, he doesn't. Yeah. So, you know, stick close to him. And then consecration. Be a vessel. Meet for the master's use. You'll have a good day. You know, I'm going to tell you. Okay. Stop the tape. I'm only kidding. I'm going to tell you the one negative thing about once saved, always saved. I'm going to tell you one negative thing about eternal security. All right? This will be the only thing some of you remember. Except for that other thing about the toothpaste. Getting saved is so cool. The negative is you can only do it once. For real. So what he's saying, Brother Spurgeon, you know what the next best thing there is having something to do with someone else getting saved. So if you'll be mindful of all these things we're preaching about tonight, amen, and then set yourself apart for the service and worship of God, you'll get to get in on the greatest miracle that ever took place. It wasn't raising the dead. It wasn't healing lepers. It's not whatever they're talking about these days, doing these days. We don't even need to go there, do we? The greatest miracle there is the new birth. And it still happens on a regular occasion. And I can prove it. If you're not in here tonight and you're not saved, you can get born again tonight by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, not by turning over a new leaf, not by going straight. You can go straight to hell right from a church pew, just like you could from a crack house. Amen? And there's people that are going to prove me right because they don't see their need. Well, you know. I mean, I know where I am. I know who I'm in the company, in the presence of, and we're sinners saved by grace, and we're given credit where credit's due. But if you've made it into our midst tonight and you're not saved, you need to be, and you can be, and you better get saved. All right, here's where I say last of all, and you guys say, yeah, we've been hearing that all week. Verse number 16. Look what it says. Talking about having a good day. Having a good conscience. That having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. You want to have a good day? You need to have a good conscience. Now, take it from somebody that knows about a guilty conscience. It's the formula for a bad day. I preached one time years ago, and I think it was an ambulance. I don't know. I was in the church, but it might have been a fire truck. Might have been a SWAT team. I don't know. But a truck went down the road outside the church with the sirens blaring, and I stood there and looked at the congregation. I said, well, excuse me, my ride's here. And that's the way it was. There was a time where every time I saw a police car, I had to do inventory in my mind of what I might have had on my person, might have had in my car, may have been a warrant. That's the way I lived for a long time. What a relief. I remember the first time I went over to Columbus, Ohio to meet a guy after I got saved, meet a preacher, and there was a police car in the median, state trooper, Ohio state trooper. And just out of habit, and I've been out of jail maybe 2 weeks, and just out of habit, I just started doing inventory. I just started thinking, okay, where's it at? What? Where? And I'm like, there's no gun. There's no dope. There's no, and I looked, and I went, wow, this is different. I'm clean. I mean, you know what's really funny? Really funny is that we're going down the road. She's hiding from me. We're going down the road all over the country, and my wife will spot a police car. And she goes, David, there's a policeman. And I'm going, so? You know, she's never been locked up, and she's more nervous than I am. You know why? Because I got a good conscience. Amen. A bad conscience, you ought to have a good day. If there's something that's giving you, something you need to get right, get it right. You'll have a better day with a clean conscience. You can walk away clean. Amen. If you're saved, you're saved. I get all that. But man, why do you keep insisting? It's like Pharaoh. Why didn't he just get right? Oh, I guess he needed one more night with the frogs. That's the way some Christians are. Yeah, I know what I got to do, and I know what my life is like, but maybe tomorrow. What? Good conscience. You know, a good conversation in Christ, that's the definite formula. And if something needs to be addressed, address it. That's what time it is. Because let me tell you something. I believe in the power of preaching. I know what the Bible says about it. I know it's the power of God. To them that are saved, I get all that. And I appreciate the emphasis you put on it. But I'm going to say this. Preaching never changed anybody's life. What you do with it is what changes your life. So you know what that means? I've been going for an hour or so. I felt so bad about that little sermonette on Monday night that I'm bound and determined to preach at least an hour the rest of the week. You know what that means? That means we can stand up here and preach for 1 hour, and the next 5 minutes are the most important part of the entire night. Because that's when we give you a chance to respond to what you heard. Let's all stand. We're talking about having a good day, and let me say this, and get out of Brother Bill's way. If you're not saved, it doesn't even matter what kind of day you have. You're not going to have a very good eternity. The Bible says you spend it weeping, wailing, gnashing your teeth, and like I preached on Sunday, you'll remember that you didn't have to. So if you need to ask a question or get some clarity on this thing called Bible salvation, it seems to me like with Bibles all over the room, with seasoned Christians all over the room, missionaries,